Today we're talking about, we're looking at Malachi, and as Di said, we're talking about sort out your leaders. Now, I work in the corporate world, so corporate world is very big on leaders, and the corporate world has a particular structure. There are customers. They use and purchase the services and goods that the company sells. There's staff, and we often refer to staff as our people. And they serve, support, and sell to the customers, and they report to the managers. Managers are responsible for people and processes. They set direction and manage performance for their teams. They may be leads, people leaders, or leaders of leaders. Now, most companies of any size will have some kind of hierarchy of leaders, mainly because there's a limit on the number of people that one person can lead and remain effective. Ultimately, there's a board, and they're responsible for the company and accountable to shareholders and regulators for both the business and how it relates to its customers. In corporations, a leader of leaders will variously be referred to as a boss, a head, a senior leader, executive, a vice president, head honcho, member of the C-suite. All that means is their title starts with chief. Each industry has its own language for the workers in the leadership group. Armed forces have admirals, generals, field marshals, captains, majors, colonels, lieutenants. Other industry verticals have chiefs, professors, chancellors, deans, principals, directors, premiers, ministers, and prime ministers. Even the Anglican Church, though flatter in structure than most organisations, has area deans, archdeacons, bishops, and archbishops. One of the most amusing debates at Melbourne Synod was probably the late 1980s, was a series of insults disguised as malapropisms during a motion to move away from the requirement to refer to an ordained person by their full title. And the one that I've never purged from my memory was the substitution of the venerable with the venereal. The point of the debate was that the church was stuck in a hierarchical mindset that was no longer relevant, and that it was confusing title, position, and authority with leadership. So we're going to do an activity. I want you to get out your phones. Grab your devices if they can communicate with the internet. And Steve's going to take us to the presentation. We're going to build a word cloud of what you think of when I say church leader. So go to www.menti.com and use the code 828488. I want you to enter a character value that you associate with being a church leader, or a behaviour you expect, or an action or task they do. No names or titles. I'm not looking for Steve's name up there. Character, behaviour, act. What word do you think of when I say church leader? Now, you can enter up to 10 words. I suggest maybe about 5, because otherwise it'll take forever. And unless you're using a phrase, enter the words separately, because otherwise tech guru and worship will go up there as tech guru worship. And I have put a profanity filter on. So behaviour, character, or act. So today we're looking at more of Malachi. He's a 5th century BCE prophet to the people of God. And last week we heard Malachi talking to God's people Israel and reminding them that he has loved them and still loves them despite their doubt and disobedience. And this week he turns his attention to the Levitical priesthood. The form of the text is a Q&A. There are questions, responses and challenges to those responses. The sections we're looking at are two contrasting dialogues about leadership among the people of Israel. And in this case, it's not about the civil leadership of the Jews. The writing is post the exile, and the land of Judah is actually at this time under the rule of the Persian king, Artaxerxes. In this text, the dialogue turns its focus squarely on the priesthood. And as a hook for today, I've given the contrasting sections titles from well-known books on leadership. And we're going to start with The Fish Rots from the Head. This book is about developing effective board directors. And so I'm giving it proper acknowledgement. Bob Garrett's book focuses on how the serious insufficiencies of some boards have negatively affected or caused the failure of the organisations they govern. But Malachi's focus is on his context. So his title would be The Church Rots from the Head. And his aim is on corruption in the priesthood. So take a look at the text at the end of chapter 1. Now it's fair to say, this is God talking, and it's fair to say that God is a bit tetchy. And he says, the accepted behaviour of people outside the priesthood is a son honours his father and servants their master. So God asks, if I am a father, where is the honour due me? And if I am a master, where is the respect due me? O priests who despise my name. God's name is integral to who God is to his people, Yahweh. Think of the burning bush and God responding to Moses' question of who God is with, I am who I am. In the Old Testament, God's name shows God's character and God's presence with his people. In the New Testament, Jesus, Son of God, the name of Jesus the Christ is the name. And it represents the same thing, God's character and God's presence with his people. To despise God's name is to despise who God is and turn away from his presence. So we see the priests, the leaders of God's people in their relationship with him, treating God with contempt, ignoring God and not worshipping God as someone devoted to his service should. They were the religious leaders of the time. And instead of honouring God, they are not honouring God. They're not respecting God. They're despising God's name. They're treating God worse than they treat their human leaders. And they're not revering God. Now, the Levites' other job was to approve and prepare sacrifices in the temple. They best understood atonement and the law. They were accountable to God and responsible for God's community and helping people to know what they had to do to be right before God. Priests were chosen to serve God with their lives by offering up sacrifices. But look at verse 7. You polluted food on my altar, and you pretend innocence, saying, how have we polluted it? Not only have you profaned my name, you've despised my table as well. So what were they doing? They were accepting for sacrifice blind animals, lame animals, and animals taken in violence, roadkill. Is that not wrong? God pleads. And again, God turns to accepted behaviour in a non-church context. If you presented roadkill to your governor, will he be pleased with you or show you favour? Not likely. And yet they think God will accept that behaviour. The priests are offering God their worst. They're choosing wrong over right. They're treating worship as a chore, and they're cheating God. Remember, priests are the religious leaders of God's community, of God's people, but they're not behaving like priests of Levi. And God is so despairing of their bad example that he says, it would be better to shut the temple doors so that you would not kindle fire in my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you. Now in Malachi, we're not talking one bad apple here. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, that is called out. If you think of the story of Samuel's sons, who are, so the other examples where it's one priest doing wrong, it's called out and the individual is dealt with. But in Malachi, it appears to be endemic. These are people who have the witness of Scripture to look back on and are still behaving in this way. Now, why is this important for us? We have to think of Malachi as a pivot in the writing for early Christians. So even though it's still a few centuries before Jesus, the understanding of the New Testament writers is that this scenario is the scenario that Christ is born into. Now, it would be lovely to think that after the time of Jesus, leaders in the church always exemplify the vocation they're called to. I've pulled up some headlines from the last couple of years, though. And we know that a good example is not always the case that is presented to us by leaders in the church. The recent and current history of some leaders in many church denominations, and regardless of ecclesiastical style, has been a litany of abuse, inappropriate behaviour, incompetence, bullying, boundary violation, protectionism, discrimination, partiality, and the list can go on. The prophets for our age are those who refuse to be silenced, those who hold church leaders to account for their behaviour and actions. Back to our dialogue with God. Chapter 2. Now, I'm going to skip over God proposing to spread dung on your faces, which is the equivalent of mud sticks, fellas, to verses 5 to 7 of chapter 2. And here we move on to our second best-selling book about leadership, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I'll offer an acknowledgement for this book too. It's written by Stephen Covey. It presents an approach to being effective in attaining goals by aligning yourself to a character ethic, also known as a virtue ethic, which balances obtaining desirable results with caring about for what produces those results. So yes, everything old is new again, it's just repackaged for a new audience. Chapter 2, verse 5. Having called the priests to account, God recalls his covenant with Levi, who refused to bow down to the golden calf, and whose tribe did not inherit land in the promised land, but instead inherited a livelihood, that of leading worship for the people of God. So let's look at what God says about what a priest should be like. There happen to be seven habits of a highly effective priest. The relationship with God is a covenant of life and well-being. And priests who are living under that covenant give worship. They offer reverence. They stand in awe of God's name. They teach. True instruction is in their mouth, and people seek instruction from the priest. They're truthful. No wrong is found on a priest's lips. They walk the talk. Integrity and uprightness are hallmarks of who they are. And their behaviour is consistent with what they instruct. They give wise counsel. They lead others to God's way. And people turn from wrong because of the counsel they receive. Priests are understanding. They guard knowledge in relation to God. In other words, they know, speak, and live the scriptures. And they serve God. They're a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So that is what every priest should aspire to in their behaviour and character. Now, did we have all of those in our church leader word cloud? I think we did. It's a fabulous list, isn't it? We have a job description for Steve and our staff team. But before you get too excited, let me remind you that we are a church of the New Testament. God the Father, Son and Spirit. And as Peter says to all the people, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We are a priesthood of believers. We're all in this together. And those seven habits of a priest are addressed to the people of God. We find them scattered throughout the New Testament. To worship God with all our heart, mind and strength. To teach others faithfully. To not cause another to stumble. To tame the tongue, as James puts it. To live peaceably with all, we find in Romans. To serve God. To be Christ's ambassadors. So this is a call to all of us who believe in God. Now, while there are regrettably instances of corrupt, negligent, willful, lazy, self-interested, and a raft of other negative motives and outcomes among people in the church, there are also examples that do live up to God's covenant of life and well-being. I want you to take a few moments to talk with those near you about a positive example of Christian leadership that you've witnessed, heard of, or experienced. Well, thank you for that buzz that you've created in the room. We were talking about William Wilberforce as one of our heroes of the faith. I'm going to pray now to conclude. Lord, we thank you that you call us to serve you faithfully as a priesthood of believers. May we be true to your covenant of life and well-being and come before you in reverence and awe of your name. Help us to speak your word truly, walk with you in integrity and uprightness, and turn away from iniquity. Grant us the strength and persistence to guard knowledge of your ways, and seek instruction in your ways to be messengers of you, the Lord of hosts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.